Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show.
From Los Angeles, I'm Justin Savakis.
I'm Zach Birchie.
And this is AnCast.
Okay, so this week we're going to start the show. We got a great guest for later on, but we're going to start out with a little discussion on Blu-ray. And the reason this is sort of coming up is because the only thing I'd been watching this week was, for some reason, Funimation released the totally mediocre Devil May Cry series on Blu-ray. I think MSRP is like $80 or something like that. And I was curious because I'd seen like the first episode and it was exactly what you'd expect from a video game adaptation. Like, they kind of take out what's cool about the games and they just sort of, it sits there. I mean, it's just, but the real like focus for me is, why is this on Blu-ray? And a big part of this discussion is also because of you. You've got some pretty interesting developments in the world of Blu-ray. So,
I've been trying to learn Blu-ray authoring over the last week. I've done freelance DVD authoring for years, and it was time to expand the repertoire and, you know, get up to the 21st century. And oh my God. Authoring Blu-ray is such a gigantic pain in the ass.
So, like, most people have absolutely no idea. They don't know anything about DVD authoring or Blu-ray,
right,
myself
right.
included. So could you, like, break it down and give us, like, a totally stupid person's version of, like, what's so tough about it?
Well, when you make a DVD, basically there are three steps. You have to design the menus, you have to encode the video, and by encode, it's sort of like encoding, a file for emailing. It takes a while. You have to get everything set perfectly, because once it's encoded, you really can't touch the video again. And then you put it all together and, you know, link this button to do this, to play this part of the disc, that sort of thing. With Blu-ray, they completely changed how menus work. And so everything has to pop over the screen. It's everything's just a lot more complicated, and there are three different ways to do everything, and one of them doesn't work half the time.
Fun.
Yeah. It's part of the reason, I think part of the reason is they just pushed it out to market way too fast, and so half the features that should work and are designed to work didn't work in the first generation of players, and so now you're just kind of bound by that.
Right, right. And the other thing is these things cost, I mean, how much is a blank Blu-ray?
$5.
Right. Isn't it like 20 for the
dual layer? Yes.
The dual layer. And the reason I bring that up is because it's the same ponderous question as to why this totally mediocre show that, as far as I can tell, no one really gives a shit about is on this really expensive brand new format that's for collectors and is having, you know, it's a very small part of the market. And then I looked at Funimation's entire Blu-ray catalog, actually pretty much most of the anime that's out there with the exception of like some Sony titles. Why?
Well, most
Why
of it's Dragon Ball.
Format? Yeah, well, that stands, yeah.
Well, until like the last month, you had to pay an obscene amount of licensing fees just to get a disc out on the shelf. So they had to really make sure that it was the stuff that really, like, mainstream people would buy, not just the otaku.
Right.
But also, I think there's a lot of worry about the stuff getting re-imported back into Japan, because the USA and Japan share a region code now.
Right.
And so if a disc is out in the US for $30 and it's out in Japan for $80, guess which one they're going to buy? They're going to order from Amazon US if they have anything to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when we were in Japan for Tokyo Anime Fair, looking at even the used prices, it's like $45 for a used Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's how much I paid for Pat Labor, too.
Yeah, exactly. I guess my question for you is, and you'd know more about the stuff that I do, so is Funimation only putting stuff out that's been out there for a little while, or do they just have the materials? Because there's got to be a strategy. Because, I mean, when you say, like, oh, it's only stuff that's going to appeal to popular or, like, a bigger audience, Full Metal Panic, The Second Raid, Samurai 7, I mean...
I think there's basically three layers of decision-making going on there. A, will Japan let us? B, will it move enough units? C, can we even get HD materials?
That's got to be a big part of it. Like, if it's just ready to go.
Yeah. And, you know, to be fair, most anime is made HD these days. So the newer shows I'll have an easier time doing.
Right. Okay, well, so then I guess that begs the next question, like, what's... Because we're both kind of nerds for Blu-ray. Like,
oh,
we
yeah.
both have a collection.
Oh, yeah.
What's one thing that's not out that you, like, want right now? And let's just take Miyazaki off the table. Ghibli is off the table for this. But, like, what's the one that you're waiting for?
I'd love me a Blu-ray of Millennium Actress.
Oh, yeah. But I'm surprised that's not out.
It's DreamWorks. They put zero effort into that.
Do they still have that?
I don't even know. No one even knows who owns DreamWorks anymore. They've changed hands so many times. Who knows if it's owned by DreamWorks or DreamWorks Animation? Who knows who owns GoFish? The GoFish catalog, most of it ended up with Paramount. It's a mess.
Right.
I don't hold out much hope.
I guess if I had a wish list, it would probably be... come down to, I guess the Escaflown TV series. That'd be awesome.
I don't think you'd get that much more detail out of it, though. It's animated for, you know, regular TV.
The Bandai DVDs that I have are old.
There've been a remaster in Japan, but two regular DVD, and those look gorgeous.
Oh, I would want the Utena movie.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really awesome.
Utena movie. Yeah, I definitely plan on importing the Memories DVD from Japan.
Yeah, that would be, well, the Blu-ray.
Or Blu-ray,
yeah. That'd be awesome.
Blu-ray.
Okay, well, this discussion is over. Let's move on to the next segment. Let's go ahead and take a break.
Yeah.
He-Man will be back right after these messages. And now back to He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
And we're back. I want to welcome our great guest, my pal, and the headmaster of the incredibly popular blog, Topless Robot, former editor of the former magazine, Anime Insider, Rob Bricken. Rob, thanks for being here.
Hello. It's very nice to be here, actually. I'm pleased as punch.
Yeah, it's cool. It's great to have you in the studio. So initially we were going to talk about the death of anime magazines, but, you know, frankly... I just don't have that. They're dead, and print is dead.
What's there to say about that?
They are dead. It's kind of a post-mortem at that point, so...
I'm sure the Otaku USA kids will get all pissed off and be like, oh, no, wait, no. You guys are the only game in town anymore, so...
It's fine. Have the entire battlefield to yourself.
You just, yeah, keep playing. That's fine. Come in when it's dinner time.
Oh, man. So since that's dead, one thing that all... Well, Rob and I have this in common. Justin, maybe not so much. But a topic that comes up a lot is when you transition from being a fan to a professional and what the toll that takes, specifically as coming in from anime fandom. Like, I don't really consider myself a quote-unquote fan anymore. Now it's my job. I happen to love my job, but it is my job, and I always sort of liken it to, like, the insurance salesman who loves his job does not go home and read about insurance in his free time.
Or the porn star who...
Thanks, Justin, for taking it there. Appreciate that.
It's a very small room. Let's not talk about porn stars.
Yeah, you guys are sitting pretty close, so.
Fine. The gynecologist who.
Yes.
Right. Okay, there you go.
Dodge that bullet.
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, right. So anyway, and that transition for me has been mostly just like you deal with it every day for 10 years, and you start noticing it's kind of repetitive. You're seeing a lot of the same stuff, and everybody complains about the lack of creativity in anime anyway these days.
Right.
So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about, like, now that you went from working at Toy Fair to working at... creating Anime Insider, basically, and then it was all anime all the time for you for the next 4 or 5 years, and now you're out of it. Like, you're free. You don't have to talk about anime anymore, except on our site. As a fan, do you still consider yourself a fan? Are you still interested in it? I mean, what's your deal?
Well, I'm going to tell you immediately that it's so nice to not just have to talk about anime every day. I mean, it's not that I didn't enjoy anime. I mean, I loved the magazine. I love the readers and everything like that. But, man, just to focus on... one subject any day, even if you're the world's biggest anime fan, just takes a toll on you, exactly as you said. But I was always more of an all-purpose nerd anyway. I mean, I went up to Wizard to work on Toy Fair magazine. I was a big toy guy. And when I found they were going to make an anime magazine, I was the only person who knew why Goku's hair turned yellow sometimes. You've heard that story about 100 times.
Man, am I sick of hearing
you
say that.
Yeah, I know. But it works. It's what's true. It's a thing. So I just kind of took charge because I knew that was a good thing. And, you know, I did like anime more than anyone else in the building. So I did that. And... yeah, you just see it every day, and I mean, I guess I was kind of like manufactured into fan. I mean, I liked a lot. I own some anime DVDs. I've got an anime tattoo, for Christ's sake. But
what's your tattoo?
Oh, it's Lum from Marvel's Yatsura. So, but even then, I didn't like consider myself like crazy hardcore, like importing stuff from Japan type stuff. I mean. So to do that and then, you know, watch the DVDs and interview the people and write it. And I mean, I got to a point with Anime Insider where I couldn't watch like Adult Swim anime at night because I would just be thinking too hard about anime to sleep later on. I mean, that's partially my own psychological problems, but that's also part of, you know, being a professional in a fandom, where it's just hard to tell business and pleasure. So, Yeah, now that I do Topless Robot and do all the anime stuff, or excuse me, do all the nerd stuff, comics and toys and TV shows and anime stuff, it's much, much nicer.
And it's diversified enough that you don't burn out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I probably actually give anime a little short shrift just because I just know that stuff. And every time I talk about anime, I turn into this big, huge, stupid rant anyway because, excuse me, of all my, the knowledge and the time in the industry and everything like that. So it just turns into this big diatribe and no one's looking for that, myself included. I just can't stop myself.
Well, I have noticed that when there is an anime item on Topless Robot, it usually has something to do with One Piece, which is your favorite show now, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, you can, even when you do talk about anime, it's something you want to talk about.
For the most part. My purpose with Topless Robot is to, kind of be the all-purpose nerd site. I mean, there's plenty of niche sites out there for all the different levels of fandom, but I didn't really think there was a good aggregator of all the different content. So, I'm kind of a toy fan, but I want to know what's going on in American comic books, so forth like that. And I think even, non-anime fans, if they're nerds, just kind of want to know the big stuff. So by that factor, there's a lot of big stuff that happens with One Piece just because it's that big or so forth like that. Or if anime comes up about, why anime is awesome, chances are I'll use One Piece as my example because it's something that I can, I've talked a lot about and feel very strongly about. So that's kind of why One Piece gets in there. But, I'm trying to think of another anime thing that happened recently that was I covered, and it was probably something stupid. I don't even know, but it was probably a bad idea by somebody. So,
so Justin, what about you? I mean, I know this is you're a little bit. We're these super cynical, jaded, hard asses.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the cynical shit. I mean, we've not talked about how bitter it all makes us. But
oh, we'll get there. Don't worry.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt.
Now, what burns you out? In my experience, at least, isn't just the fact that you're watching anime every day and, living, breathing, sleeping it. What burns you out is the fact that it's living, breathing, sleeping the anime you really don't want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And, I suffered burnout a few times in my career. The first and most prolonged one being after the 2-month production cycle that was the MD Geist DVD. Yeah, after that.
I'm so sorry.
You know what? The great thing is there's an analog for us. When Rob and I worked during my tenure there, and he was running Anime Insider, we had to do the Duel Masters special.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you guys had to work on Yu-Gi-Oh specials. It's a whole magazine that's just about Yu-Gi-Oh or Duel Masters.
Yeah, that hurts. I mean, I don't think any of us watched a single episode of Yu-Gi-Oh for that. Because
we had to write about it.
Oh, yeah, we had to write about it. But it's, if you're an English major, you don't read the books you have to write about for school. You just do it.
Right.
CPM was really bad for this sort of thing.
Oh,
though,
I'm
because
sure.
Because not only was I an editor and a subtitle guy, I had to watch everything.
Including the hentai.
Including the hentai. I mean, well, the hentai, at least you could stay awake for.
Right.
I just have this horrible memory of trying to subtitle Z-Guy. And just, I fell asleep 4 or 5 times just at the subtitle station. Just, I cannot pay attention to this. This is just going in one brain cell and out the next.
That's exactly right. I can't even imagine what it was like just dealing with Central Park Media's library. I mean, that's kind of a wasteland right there.
It really was. But what after for a good year, I just couldn't watch anything for fun.
Oh, sure.
And you just tune out. And then when you're ready to come back, after that long, hey, there's a new Satoshi Kon movie I haven't seen. Hey, there's, a couple new Ghibli movies that I haven't seen. Hey, there's this backlog of TV shows. And what actually ended up pulling me back into it, sad to say, Naruto.
Hmm.
The original series back when it was getting really good and addictive.
Justin, it's pronounced Naruto.
I am so sorry.
Naruto. It is Naruto.
Naruto. Leave me alone.
So,
no, basically, I've over the years, I've established a few rules for not burning out. One is just marinate mostly in the shows you like and try not to watch too much. And, interspace it with a lot of good American TV, a lot of good movies. There's so much out there, and you just have to pace yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just now coming off of maybe a 3-year burnout period where I would struggle to watch even the stuff I thought I might like. Now I've just realized if I stay away from the otaku in-joke shows, and which are a kryptonite to me and make me want to kill myself.
No lucky star for you, huh?
Yeah, nope, can't, nope, no purchase. It I've almost developed a tic whenever anyone mentions those shows. But yeah, you're right. If you just stick to the stuff that doesn't make you angry, like physically upset, it's not so bad.
I wouldn't get physically upset so much as just kind of numb, and my part of my brain would shut down.
I don't know. I mean, I think the last time I actually tried to, I think I was drunk and I had just gotten a big box from Funimation and in it was Shuffle.
Oh.
And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to watch some anime, you know, drunk off my ass. And I put in Shuffle and, like, I think I threw it, like, I went out to my balcony and threw it into the, because you can hit the pool from my apartment. I just passed out angry on the couch.
Yeah, I just stopped at a certain point. Just stopped with pretty much all anime. I watched a bit on, I kind of tapered off because I really like the shonen shows. I don't know, there's a 12-year-old boy that inside me that just still enjoys all that stuff. And so I was kind of doing the stuff on Adult Swim and Cartoon Network and then Naruto and Bleach and really like Death Note. That was the last thing I saw that I really enjoyed and wanted to watch the rest of. And
did you ruin it by watching those live-action movies?
I've watched the live-action movies, and they don't. They have not ruined it for me.
Really?
They were not as good, but I didn't bother. I've got the third one waiting for me when I get home, actually.
Hmm. Well, hey. As for me, I spent 6 hours yesterday re-authoring the Kira Blu-ray with the old dub. Clearly, nice. I still have a problem.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah. That's like me saying, I'm not an anime fan, and I've got my Lum tattoo here on my arm. We're all in denial here.
Who doesn't love that old Akira dub anyway?
It is an awesome dub.
Yeah.
It absolutely is great.
So before we get to the Twitter questions, Rob mentioned this on Twitter, and then somebody, of course, asked me about it. I was going to start it anyway, but Rob, tell us about this game that you have that you play. With regards to the Region 1 anime companies.
The Region 1 anime companies, yes. The U.S. anime companies. So, basically...
Sorry, was that too... That was too much.
You're too over my head. We're American here. I don't know what you're talking about. So, basically, all the anime companies have horrendously fucked up one way or another. And so, and I'm sure this came up with talking with you at one point drunk one night at a con or something like that, that there is one anime series for each U.S. anime company that just utterly defines them and their utter inability to work in the U.S. market or understand the audience or admit what's going on or anything like that. Just one product that would have never, ever conceivably worked in America. And yet they tried to bring it out anyway because Japan made them or they thought it was okay or they had to take it or something like that.
Or the anime on DVD forum said, we'll buy it, seriously, buy it.
The two guys there would say that. and so, yes, there's one series for each company that just perfectly sums up everything that was wrong about them. And we've got it all figured out. My favorite, I believe, is ADV and Papua.
Now, see, although I agree that was a moronic license, wasn't that... usually the stuff they derailed with was more like the magical girl type shows.
They did a lot of magical girl
stuff. I was
going to
say, I have two. I think
there are other ones, but I don't know. I always see ADV as like just this huge ring thing and just a kind of hubris of, you know, what they could do and what they couldn't do. I mean, Genion was kind of sad. You know, they were just kind of, you know, being bullied along by Genion Japan. And so they had to do stuff. Bandai was being told what to do with different look from bullied. You know, they were just like, we had to take whatever.
I just got this image in my head of a bunch of Genion executives standing around a pier and they have this big boat and on the side is Heat Guy J. And they all have these excited looks on their faces as they float it out to the ocean, and then it lights on fire and sinks.
The difference, I actually liked Heat Guy J.
I like the show, but
Funimation's bringing that out.
Yeah, I liked the show.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, first of all, that's a great fucking idea because it sold so well when it was actually new. Thank God Funimation is returning it. That's a gold mine waiting to happen. So I say ADV. I mean, no one. You know, there's always going to be like five guys who buy those terrible magical girl shows or something like that. And so I just figure ADV, that's part of their bread and butter. But for a show that no one would buy, Papua is it. Not a single person in America is going to buy Papua ever. Not in 1950, not in 2050, not any time when it was being created. No one was ever going to buy Papua. And they thought it was a decent enough idea to spend money and time and effort. Now, Genion, what was Genion's? We talked about this. Genion had
a few.
Oh, Genion had a lot of series that just had no business being sold. And they just were so obviously like trying to be excited about it.
Disgaea?
It was really sad. No, Disgaea actually had a video game.
Yeah, there was a little something there.
two of my favorite shows just had no business coming out from them. Fighting Spirit, Hajime no Ippo.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one that no one bought.
No, that was genuine. And Human Crossing.
Oh.
Who in their... I mean, I love Human Crossing. Who in their right mind would license Human Crossing?
I don't know.
And then, of course, they put no effort into the marketing, so it's like the DVD one is just like cartoon Japanese businessmen standing in line for something. And the top, it says Human Crossing Volume 1, and that's it. Like, anyone in a Best Buy is going to go, wow, I'm intrigued.
Well, no, that's the terrible thing about Genion, is that Genion Japan would never support them in any way or allow them to do anything. So they have, chances are they didn't get any art besides that shot of like some random dude on a sidewalk standing there, even though anyone who did marketing 101 would know that's a bad idea. Any kid would know that was a bad idea. And they would not be allowed to put anything but Human Crossing on the front. So if they wanted to have a blurb that said, oh, this is a drama, or this is
or today's
smart,
hottest kind of cool,
or something.
That's Rob's quote on the Cowboy Bebop movie poster. quote, too.
I was on a movie poster. I own the movie poster. And yes, it's a horrible quote, but I have the movie poster, and I'll be buried.
Hey, I have my terrible quote on the back of Skycrawlers. So.
Nice. Yeah.
I've only got my name on some random CPM DVD. I think it was a Nutena DVD.
But your name was on the Full Metal Alchemist stand.
No, I was about to say, and then there was that. And you know, I love that because there was a production fuck up, and when the tin came out, the little sticker that they had that had whatever I said, Zach Birchie, stuck to the tin itself, not the plastic.
Yeah. Oh.
So everyone who bought it had my name stuck on their Full Metal Alchemist tin, and the collectors are all pissed off and raging that there's stick'em left on their precious tin, and my name was on it.
It's called Goo Gone. Get over it.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious though. But as for, like, the one Genion release that just, like, sums up, like, here's what we're doing wrong.
Law of Ueki?
Oh, that's a good one.
I think it was Law of Ueki.
Was it Law of Ueki?
Because, I mean, it's a shonen show. It's about a kid who turns garbage into trees.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of shit that kind of flies in Japan, but no child in America. I mean, it's a show for little kids, which they did not market for little kids. They're doing it on TV. They're trying to get collectors to buy it. It's just totally incongruous. There's no logic involved whatsoever. I know Bandai's. I'm totally good with Bandai. So
Bandai, let's talk about what do you think the one Bandai thing is?
Bandai Dando, the golf one.
Oh, Dando.
Dando. Oh. Yes.
I tried to watch that. It was a cute little show, but it was so obviously for little kids.
It's golf. It's about golf.
Yeah.
It's about little kids who play golf. It's for little kids. And again, marketed to, you know,
teenagers,
anime collectors. It's not happening. It is just not happening.
Well, didn't they bring out like a really, really old, Cyber Formula?
Oh, that's right.
They brought
out Cyber
Formula GPX. Well, yeah, and they put it like all out in this one box set. And the show, it had its fans back in the day, but it aged so badly. I mean, it was like literally 3 frames a second drawn with, you know, some guy with a big Crayola marker. It didn't work. I'm like, really? You brought this out?
I forgot to get this out, but I agree that Papua is a great example of just something no one would ever buy, I think you could probably look at two releases that really sum up ADV's, like, what are we doing? Aura Battler Dunbean. And
yes,
Princess
absolutely.
Tutu. Princess Tutu to me is the epitome of course no one's going to buy that. The anime on DVD kids have you blindsided. They were just blindly follow these anime on DVD kids.
Yes.
Of course no one's going to buy a show called Princess Tutu.
Yes.
Yeah. Sadly, I mean, I love the show.
Yes,
a lot
again,
of
none of this
like
is
it.
A value judgment on these shows. We like
well,
most
Aura
of these
Battler
shows.
Dunbean's pretty horrible, right? I mean, let's put a value judgment on that right now.
Right.
That's
Tomino.
Tomino just being as Tomo-no-y-ist, I don't know. It just no checks and balances involved there.
And they dubbed it, too, which was just... I mean, could you imagine somebody announcing that release today and then saying, we're going to dub every episode of Aura Battler Dunbean, and it's going to be released in singles, 4 episodes a disc.
Oh, you're not going to even have that one fat kid who goes, yeah! Zach,
one
that happens
kid in the
for
back,
every release.
Yeah.
I honestly, my favorite ADV is Umaria.
I don't even... I swear to God, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, that was the harem robot show that no one had ever heard of.
Still no one's ever heard of.
I would say, I've never heard that before in my life.
A lot of this begs the obvious problem is, like, where was the marketing on these shows if they really believed in them?
Well, again, like, I can't count for ADV because ADV just, when they had money, they marketed the hell out of everything.
That's true.
And then they lost the money, and then they didn't market anything.
Right.
Again, Genion would try to market things and would be not allowed. My favorite story about Genion is we were going to do a cover on Read or Die the TV. I liked Read or Die. I thought, oh, you know, it's a TV show. Let's do that for sure. So even though Japan had plenty of character art, they only allowed three pieces, which were these horribly, they were kind of nice, like artsy shots that end up on the pencil boards, I think. Mm-hmm. But in terms of covers, they were horrible. They were too artsy. They weren't exciting or anything like that. Right. They were in bad positions. And I'm like, oh, come on. I know you have these pictures. I have these pictures, like from Japanese new types or whatever. Please give them so we can do the cover. And so they wouldn't give them. And I finally agreed, okay, I'll do this horrible pencil board cover. And then Genion USA had to ask Genion Japan for it, if they could do the cover. And Genion Japan said, no, we don't want a cover of a magazine. We prefer not to have coverage on this. Thank you. And that is Genion. That is Genion. That is the entirety of Genion. So Bandai,
that doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it does not make any sense at all. And that was Genion. Everything was like that. They would want to do something that was kind of sensible. And Genion Japan wouldn't let them. So Bandai, on the other hand, they would have to take a few things that were Bandai. But it was like a less stupid version.
Well, not only that, Bandai Japan has a lot of really good shows.
That is true. That overall, you
know, Sunrise, I mean, all
yeah,
those shows.
Yeah, indeed. They more or less were dead. I mean, they, well, I'm not going to go into much about Bandai. So
What about some of the other companies?
I'm trying to think. Like, I think CPM MD Geist is
well,
so
it's
horrible.
Their logo.
I know it's their logo. So I guess that's an easy shot right there. I'm trying to think. Who else?
I mean, in terms of just that company as a whole, I would put something like what was that terrible thing they released? It's like the boy who wanted to be a bear.
Oh, the French thing.
What was What was the Korean
doggy
poop one?
Doggy
poo. God, they all their remaining money they spent on dog
Dude,
shit.
You have no idea. They actually bought a booth that year at licensing fair to try to sell it as a mascot for something.
I saw the merchandise. I mean, it was madness. That was.
It's like, who is going to associate dog poop with their brand? and they were like, fertilizer company.
Keep on reaching for the stars.
My favorite part about Doggy Poo is that it was based on a Korean children's book, but they didn't want to spend the money to license the Korean children's book. So they basically printed a big, like, 35-page picture book of up-resed screen caps.
Oh, wait, I think I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh,
I do remember that totally. I remember that it was also sad. And you wonder why we get burned about these things when, you know, there's the big hit from CPM is Doggy Poo and these horrible books and tie-ins and everything like that. It just wears on you. It just hurts your soul.
So
Dando.
Do we have any Media Blasters? What's that?
No, Media Blasters is kind of weird and just par for the course. I mean, they keep on trucking along. They don't do much. They have their live-action stuff. Like
Well, when you think about it, they're sort of a little like Funimation on a much smaller scale because they had Voltron money and they had Invader Zim money. Funimation's sort of like the macro version because they have DBZ money.
Right.
And so they spend the DBZ money.
The gift
money.
That keeps on giving.
Yep.
Well, Funimation is a little different. I mean, because they've got pretensions. They really want to be the king of the anime industry, so they'll buy
pretty much.
All
they
this
basically
stuff.
Are.
They basically are, but that means they're re-releasing Higajay. So there's a.
I don't know why they're re-releasing. They two
had
thirds
to.
Of that.
They had to.
They had to.
It was some licensing deal where
they just had
to get a couple things, and it's like,
yeah,
okay, but
my,
you have to release all this.
To my knowledge, the
and
Genion
they didn't say no.
Like to my knowledge, the Genion stuff, it's just a distribution thing
and
a replication thing.
Okay.
but yeah. Okay, so now that we've had the bitter taste of bitter, let's take some Twitter questions. We got a bunch of them. I'm going to start with one that came in a direct message. It's for Rob, and we can weigh in on this. From House Mix Bob, the question is, which film hurt your soul more for Rob, Dragon Ball Evolution or Transformers Revenge of the Fallen?
Transformers, by a long shot. Now, I'm a Dragon Ball fan. I thought the movie was inept in every way, but there's something about Transformers 2 and seeing it make $1 million jillion in its first weekend and knowing it is one of the worst films ever made that hurts far more than Dragon Ball, which was utterly incompetent and did nothing. You know, no one cared about Dragon Ball. No one liked it, but lots of people like Transformers 2, and that's what makes me feel like I'm in Bizarro World.
Yeah, at least Transformers 2 had decent CG.
some of it, but I mean, when the Transformers would randomly disappear from scenes and randomly come back, and you know, they when they dump Optimus Prime's corpse out of a helicopter from 30 feet, and when those fucking horrible parents show up for 20 minutes, no CG in the world can save that.
Justin, did you ever see Dragon Ball?
No.
It's like,
why would I do that to myself?
It's like 78 minutes of just, they're just like trying to get the movie done as quickly as possible. Everyone's, it's all just terrible. It's just terrible.
The thing that made me laugh is I was in a media store the other day that charged full MSRP for everything. The Dragon Ball Evolution Blu-ray, $44.95.
Ah!
That was the price tag.
That's fantastic.
Can you imagine someone paying $44.95?
No.
And like taking it home and like they haven't seen it. Like, and I love Dragon Ball. I can't wait. Like, oh no.
I just can't imagine that would happen. I just refuse to believe that happens in this universe. Otherwise, if it did, it would just be too sad.
Hey, it's treated this month, right?
I think so. Okay.
Last month.
Okay. Next month, we should check the suicide rates.
Well, Street Fighter came out about the same time, so you're going to get some crossover that way.
Ooh.
At least that had Chris Klein being fucking insane. That had a little something over it. There were no redeeming factors about Dragon Ball. There was just nothing to be happy with or enjoy. It just that it was, except it was over quickly. No one enjoyed that movie. No one making that movie enjoyed that movie. That was so obvious in every frame.
I still wonder if they're going to do a sequel. Okay, so from Review Ninja, a serious question. It says, seems to me like a significant portion of the anime scene, I guess he means significant portion of anime fans, are completely invested in anime to the exclusion of other arts. Is the desire for more diversity in experiences a core reason why anime fandom tends to depreciate over time?
Well, okay. So, yeah, I think there's, but I don't know. Yes, no, there's, when you're a fan of something, especially when you're a young fan of something, you just tend to get into it to the exclusion of all else if you're hardcore. Like, whether that's toys, anime is very easy to do that because, you know, anime, when you first get into it, it seems so fresh and new, and it kicks the ass of, you know, your other entertainment options as a kid. So it gets real easy to say, oh, this is awesome, and everything else sucks.
And there's so much of it.
There's a great deal of it. I mean, less now than, you know, there used to be, you know, 2, 3, 5 years ago. But it's just something that I saw a lot of people do. I saw a lot of, you know, Anime Insider readers do and everything like that. So I guess we're coming out of the fallout from that high point of anime, that 2002 through 2005, where all the good stuff came out and, you know, all the bad stuff came with it. And, you know, you're talking about how, you know, anime is in kind of a rut right now, and I think that's pretty safe to say with your Queen's Blade being so popular and everything like that. I mean, the last thing I remember being so huge is, like, Full Metal Alchemist, and now there's the new Full Metal Alchemist, and no one gives a shit. So, there's just not, you know, even the Evangelion movies, no one gives a shit. So,
no, those, people give a shit about it.
A little bit, but it's not like...
The second movie really has people excited, because it's totally supposed to be crazy.
But like, you can't compare it at all to how Evangelion used to be when it was first coming out in early 2000, 2001.
I don't know that I'd agree. I mean, Ev is sort of evergreen. It's still really popular.
I would say it's popular. Anyway, you would probably know more than me, so... On the other, yeah, I just don't feel that same excitement.
It's not the world-ending juggernaut
so
it was once.
You don't have those big hits anymore, and you've got a lot of shit coming out because these anime studios in Japan are, you know, are going for, you know, lowering their standards, just trying to get their money back at this point. You know, trying to make profits with, you know, boobs that shoot acid milk or whatever the hell is going on.
I love my job.
Yeah, exactly. This is how you get burned out, people. When they start having boobs with acid milk on primetime Japanese TV, you get burned out.
It's not primetime.
Oh, whatever. I prefer.
There's a version of it that's on primetime.
Are you serious?
Oh,
yeah.
There's an edited version that runs in primetime.
The edited version.
They just scrub out the nipples and shit.
Yes. So the nippleless boob acid milk show. Yes. So anyway, the point is that, you know, I think kind of anime fandom is just a lot of those people are getting burned out. You're still going to have more new anime fans. You're still going to have people who freak out about it nowadays, things like that. But we just had a huge glut when a lot of people were into it at all the right time. And now the depreciation is happening.
Justin, anything?
Got to pace yourself.
Right.
That's all I have to say. Absolutely. Got to pace yourself.
You know, the advice I give to people, you know, don't ever exclude anything. You know, there's a lot of great anime out there, but, you know, there's a lot of great American cartoons and American live action shows. And for the people who don't give a shit about anime, I always say, you know, just because it's a cartoon or just because it's Japanese, don't count it out.
Yeah, I still see fans from time to time who are in that phase where anime is the best thing and everything American sucks. There was a guy on Twitter, some kid on Twitter, a while ago who, when it turned out that Ponyo, I guess, had made some money at the box office, he said, "Yeah, suck it, crappily drawn American cartoons," like, on Twitter.
Oh, that's so cute.
And I retweeted it and added in all caps to the end, "I'm a dumb baby."
And very, very smooth.
Poor kid. I don't know, but that I remember that attitude, and I don't think I ever got to that point where I'm like, anime is good to the exclusion of everything else, but those kids will eventually learn, because those people who are like that are almost either very sad adults, or they're kids, and they don't know any better.
Yeah, it's
very sad adults won't learn a thing.
Yeah, no, if you're an adult, that's, you know, it's game over, but, I mean, it's a major part of the phase for a lot of the fans of anything, really, so
yeah.
It's just standard operating procedure.
Okay, this is pertaining directly to the UK. Well, not really. User Tim On, said, "Do you think we'll see classic series released in time on Blu-ray? The United Kingdom just got the DVD remastered box set for Bebop announced, but it's DVD only. Isn't that short-sighted? Won't a lot of people just hold off from buying it just in case a Blu-ray is going to happen? Or is the industry in such a state where that's not reasonable to expect that to happen?" And Justin, obviously the most qualified to answer that.
I don't think that a lot of those shows will even benefit from a Blu-ray release, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, shows that were animated for standard def, even if they were shot on film like Bebop was, they'll look a little better on Blu-ray, but they won't look a lot better. And Blu-ray, you know, the market penetration just isn't there yet. And there's still a big cost to market. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier in the show, Japan still has worry about that stuff washing up for dirt cheap on Japanese shores. So, yeah, it's going to be a while if it happens.
So do you think it's not smart to wait?
I wouldn't, especially if you can get the remastered stuff cheap. God, that video looks gorgeous.
So, yeah, and if you have a Blu-ray player, it's going to upscale it nicely anyway.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, that's good advice. from Onan Rules, webcomic recommendations. What does Rob read?
You know, I don't actually read a ton of webcomics. I'm more of a blog guy, I guess, for obvious reasons. I prefer the text, but I read, I kind of gave up on Penny Arcade a while ago. They were just getting into their own weird thing. I don't begrudge Devin, but it wasn't what I was looking for from them. I do Dinosaur Comics. I read Dr. McNinja regularly. I was lucky to meet that dude who drew it by his trades, and he did sketches for me.
He's a nice guy. Yeah,
yeah, he was very cool. That book is outstanding. And then I think Real Life Comics, just nice. So that may be about it, actually.
I have to drop two that I think are actual, like, staggering works of amazing genius. Casey Green's Gun Show. I'll send you the link if you're interested. That and the absolutely phenomenal Kate Beaton does Hark a Vagrant, which is the best drawn and funniest webcomic out there ever. Justin, you read anything?
Just Nina.
Right. Maybe we should plug stuff that's on our website.
Your website does fine. It doesn't need any help.
I guarantee you more people read Nina than listen to us.
That is true.
We know that. We know that that's true. by a large, large, large amount. Okay. That's a question none of us will have.
Three sweaty, bitter guys in a booth versus a tiny little cute elf girl. That's pretty obvious to me.
I know that this is the one Justin's been waiting for. Question for Rob and Justin. What is the deal with chicken and waffles? This doesn't sound appealing, but it's supposedly good. Now, I know she's asking this question because both of you have mentioned on Twitter that you were recently eating at Roscoe's. I assume you went to Roscoe's.
No, I went to Dinah's, actually.
How was it?
Chicken and waffles. It was good.
Really?
I had a great time.
I had the opposite time.
Really?
Yeah.
I went to Roscoe's.
Utter bullshit. the chicken was overdone. The waffles were a little shy of IHOP quality.
Uh-huh.
Anything would taste good with that much butter.
Uh-huh.
And I was just, the gravy was good, but honestly, I was just like, this is it? This is what I waited a half hour in line for? Fuck you.
Did you have gravy with your chicken and waffles?
I had to order a second thing of chicken. I was hungry, and B, I'm Justin.
Well, that's fine. I'd not had the chicken and waffle experience, and I wasn't sure if it was like a thing or where they come together or whatever, but it's really just, here's a plate of waffles, here's a plate of chicken.
Roscoe's, they come together.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was separate, and the chicken was good, and then the waffles were really light and flaky, a little boysenberry jam on them. And so you've got, I think the deal is you've got the salty, meaty chicken, and then you've got the very light, fluffy, sweet waffles.
That sounds way higher class than Roscoe's.
It was great. Dinah's is a dive. I mean, it wasn't any, like...
You can't tell by the decor or anything.
Well, I mean, it wasn't that expensive, and it was, you know, it was kind of divey inside. There was a lot of old people there.
Dinah's here in L.A.?
Yeah. Huh. But great waffles, pretty good chicken, and I think the combination of the two is something that I would definitely try again. I wholeheartedly recommend the combo, whether at home, the office, or your place of worship.
I've gotten a lot of shit for this, but I will say it. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Roscoe's is a diner, a shitty little diner that happened upon a bizarre combination that worked for them, and that is it.
Isn't that a Southern thing, though, chicken and waffles? Didn't that come from the South?
I know there are plenty of chicken and waffle places in the South. Like, Atlanta, I saw it a few times. I just didn't choose to have the combination.
Okay, then I don't know what the hell's up with that.
But fuck Roscoe. Fuck that guy right in his ear.
Oh, my God. We're going to get so much hate mail for this.
I don't know who Roscoe is. I hope he's all right.
Well, that concludes this episode of Chicken and Waffles Chat. I think we're about done. That's all the Twitter questions we had, and we're at about time. So, Rob, thank you so much for being here.
Happy to be
really
here, man.
Appreciate it.
I enjoyed it.
Come back anytime you're in town.
Well, I can probably do it on Skype since I'm hardly in the L.A. area very often, but I did enjoy sweating in this tiny little booth with you guys, so I appreciate that very much.
All right, well, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week.